I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans 12.
Golly. I love this chapter in God's Word. We are in week two of an 8-week journey through Romans 12, if you will turn there. And I appreciate so much to hear the reading of the whole chapter and to be reminded of the beautiful truth of what we see in this passage. This summer, our series is all about practical faith and purposeful living. This journey that we're going to take and that we're in the middle of now is designed to help us be inspired to live the grace of Jesus among our family, our friends, our coworkers, our enemies, our neighbors, and in our faith family. Now, last week, we had two major points to what we talked about. The first was this: true worship begins in the head and the heart and leads to the hands and the home. True worship's more than just knowledge up here. It's more than just words coming out of our mouth. It leads to action. It leads to the hands and to the home. But how does that happen? It happens by the renewing of our mind. We looked at that last week. How is it that we renew our mind? We read the word and we reduce the world. It's a simple little phrase. Read the word and reduce the world. Now, some of us left with our next step of reading Romans 12 every day for 7 days. Now, some of you have done that. You've told me you've done it. I hope it's meant something powerful to you and you find such truth in that. Others of us who have been consistently in God's word, we asked you and challenged you to memorize Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. So I hope that you have taken time to do that. I urge you, therefore, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing unto God, which is your acceptable worship. I hope that you've memorized this passage. If not, it's not too late. Begin to memorize it and put it into practice. But today, we want to pick up right where we left off after verse 2. So look at Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 3. Today's message, if I'm honest with you, is very simple. However, I really believe it's the most pivotal message of the entire 8 weeks. So I hope that you will really follow along as we go together. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Now listen, that's a beautiful phrase. Let's put it in the Sand Mountain Translation. Don't be too big for your britches, right? That's what it's saying. Have some sober thinking concerning yourself. Don't get too big for your britches. Humility, this is important, don't miss this. Humility is a requirement for practical faith and purposeful living. If you do not have humility in your life, if you are not living in a humble way, you will never be practically righteous and you'll never really have purposeful living. It can't be done. Make no mistake, the humble and the proud will all bow before God someday. Amen? It's true. The humble and the proud will all bow. I love what a few of us were able to hear Lisa Turkhurst say a few weeks ago at a conference. I love this. She said this, humility bowed low and humiliation tripped and fell, but both ended up on their knees before God. Man, I wish I'd have said that first. That's good. Let me say it again. Humility bowed low and humiliation tripped and fell, but both ended on their knees before God. I will tell you this, that we will all bow before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The question is, will we learn in this life to do so with a humble heart, to make the decision to bend the knee, to bow the heart, or will it require humiliation in our life to fall from that level of pride? I'll tell you this, in my 29 years of ministry experience, and it's hard for Brother Willis, how many years have you been in the ministry? Over 60? It's so many you can't even remember exactly how many. I like that. Over 60. Well, for me, I look back and think it's been 29 years since I took my first position at a church, and I don't know what happened. There was a time when I was known as the young preacher. Now I'm just a preacher. And that kind of hurts my feelings a little bit. So now you know what you're known as, right? I want so it's okay. I love you, Brother Willis. You come on up here and preach this if you want. You're good. You go. In my 29 years of ministry experience, here's what I found. Listen to this. Sober judgment always leads to a servant's heart, and pride often just leads to pew sitting. Did it hurt your feelings? Let me say it again. Sober judgment often leads to a servant's heart, but pride will often lead to just sitting in a pew and not doing anything else. A sober look at what we deserve and a sober look at what God has provided instead always leads us to gratitude and to service. It does. If you'll stop and think about what you deserve, would you take just a moment? You don't have to talk to anyone around you, just you. If you stop and think about what you deserve in your life from God, the truth is, the only response we can give if we stop and then think about what he's provided in salvation, what he's provided for us in blessings, the only response is gratitude. Anything above burning in hell is a privilege, right? Anything above burning in hell is a privilege. Why? Don't be offended, because that's what you and I deserve. What we have earned is separation from God. But God in his faithfulness, God in his grace and his mercy, just like we sang about in that song, God in all of his wonderful faithfulness provided us not just salvation, but he provided us a new life. God is so good to us. But pride often leads to a couple of different things. It leads to consumerism, where we just want things that we want. It leads to indifference. It leads to people saying, somebody else can do that. Somebody else can give. Somebody else can serve. Somebody else can share the gospel. I got to tell you, though, the next four verses of Scripture destroy that thought if you've ever had it. Look at the next four verses. Chapter 12, verse 4. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. What do you see in this passage? It's a beautiful representation that we all have a part to play. Look at what it says first. We are all part of one body. The body of Christ is not complete without you. Now that sounds strange, but if you're a follower of Jesus, you need to know the body of Christ, you're part of it. It says we are individually members one of another. We must work together. We go together. It's not you're part, you're the body of Christ, and I'm the body of Christ. It's we are the body of Christ, individually members of one another. This passage, along with 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which we will not read now, you can study later, and Ephesians chapter 4, all of these talk about spiritual gifts and using the different parts of the body of Christ. And they give a very clear message, and the message is this: if you're a follower of Jesus, if that's you, then God has gifted you with a spiritual gift, and it is to be actively used to benefit the body of Christ and glorify God. No gifts were given to be dormant. Every gift you have ever received from God, a spiritual gift, was given so that you would use it. No gift was given so that you would say, God, let me explain it this way. The day you gave your life to Jesus, the day you received his grace and his mercy, the day that he transformed you, the day that he made you new, the day that you were saved, however you want to phrase it, on that day, the power of the Holy Spirit did a miraculous thing in your life. First of all, the Holy Spirit drew you to salvation. Secondly, the Holy Spirit sealed your salvation. Third, the Holy Spirit begins to dwell within you and provide spiritual gifts. What's a spiritual gift? It's a supernatural ability that God has given every believer that they can use to glorify the body of Christ and to point people to Jesus. Now, it's a big deal. You have a supernatural gift. If you're here and you know Jesus, it's not natural. It's not a gifting of your own. It's something that God gave you. It's supernatural, above natural. It's from God. He has given you a gift, but he did not give you that gift that you could sit. I've said this before, but sitting in a pew is not a spiritual gift. Neither is grumbling or complaining. Those aren't spiritual gifts. Our gifts are ways that we can be empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit to live out our faith. It's made to edify the body of Christ. In other words, your spiritual gift is supposed to make the people in this room better, and it's supposed to make believers around the world better, and it's also designed to bring glory to God so that people will come to know him. So here's my question. Is your spiritual gift lying dormant, or are you using it for the kingdom of God? There's a phrase I want to give you. It's a phrase that's an important phrase, and I don't want you to, if you're going to memorize anything today, I hope it's this, and that is this: spiritual gifts always come with work gloves. I want you to commit that to memory. Spiritual gifts always come with work gloves. You're going to hear that phrase for months and months to come. We want this to be a pivotal phrase for our faith family to stop and realize that spiritual gifts come with work gloves, that God did not empower you so that you could sit and soak. God has empowered you that you can take and put on your work gloves and you can be about his business. And so he's given you work gloves as part of the deal. Now, I want you to think it through. Some of you say, well, is that good theology? Where does it say that in the Bible? Everywhere. It says it right here. It'll say it in 1 Corinthians 12. It says it in Ephesians. The spiritual gifts you've been given are to be used. And so I want to encourage you to think about the fact that this means something. You have been empowered not just for your benefit, you've been empowered for my benefit. You've been empowered for your neighbor's benefit. You've been empowered for the benefit of all believers. And it's a call to action. Spiritual gifts come with work gloves. We're called to use those. Let's keep going together really quickly. So if that's the case, and spiritual gifts come with work gloves, I want you to think about something else. If you are not using your spiritual gifts for the family of God, then you think too highly of yourself and you think too low of God's design. Let me say it again. If you're not using your spiritual gifts for the kingdom of God, you think too highly of yourself. There's a pride issue that keeps you from living it out. You haven't had sober judgment. And you think too lowly of God's plan, because God's plan is that we will all edify the body of Christ. Friend, you have a part to play in the kingdom of God. I can't say that any more simply than that. If you know Jesus, you have a part to play. If you know Jesus and you are connected and committed to Albertville First Baptist Church, hear me say this. You have a part to play in Albertville FBC reaching our city and reaching the world with the gospel. You have a part to play. I got excited when I was writing this message, and so I did something I haven't done very often. I wrote a poem. I wrote a little poem I will read to you to kind of even illustrate this a little more. It says this: all parts have a heart, and all parts must be led. If no care and no action, then your part must be dead. Dead things just add weight, and they don't make things better. If I were the doctor, I'd probably just sever. But thanks be to Jesus, he makes dead things new. So how about letting him start now with you? Discover your gifts and find out a need, then put on your work gloves and get about the deed. Listen, friends, that's what God is calling you to do and me to do today. Now, believe it or not, that's the whole message. Now I'm going to give you the invitation. It's going to take a little while. That was quick. 10:56, message is done. Write it down. Don't forget it, okay? But here's the invitation. So what's the next step? What do we do with this simple idea? Reading from Romans chapter 12, reading these few verses about spiritual gifts, reading that it tells us to be of sober judgment, telling us that we ought not to think too highly of ourselves, but that we would stop and reflect on what Jesus is doing in us and what he's calling us to do. What do we do with this? What's the next step for the next 7 days? Here's a few things real quickly. It's going to take a few minutes to walk through these. First of all, the same as last week when I asked some of us to memorize Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I want to encourage some of you today then that if you memorize that, continue on. Now, this week, work on memorizing Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. Now, some of you are catching on already. By the end of the 8 weeks, if the Lord is willing and you'll put the time in, we're all going to have the whole book, the whole chapter, Romans chapter 12, memorized. Now, I've got a special prize for everyone that can do it. It's a piece of candy. Isn't that exciting? I don't know. We'll find something for you. But the truth is, we want you to memorize this passage, Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. But here's what I want to ask everyone in the room to do for the next 7 days. I would ask you to set aside 5 minutes early in your day, at some point early in your day, set apart 5 minutes to take a sober assessment of your life every single day. Now, what does that mean? You take 5 minutes and you begin to, in your mind or on paper or on your computer, your phone, however you like to do things, you begin to make a list of what you deserve because of how your life was lived the day before, and then a list of just what God has provided. Now, friend, if you'll take a sober assessment every day for 7 days, it will change your perspective of worship, because it will help me. I've tried it. As I stop and think about what I truly deserve, what I deserve is eternity separated from God. I don't deserve the family I've been given and blessed with. I don't deserve the resources I have. I don't deserve to live in such an incredible place. I don't deserve to be able to sit in air-conditioned rooms and enjoy the comfort of worshiping with my friends. I could make a long list of things I don't deserve because of my life of sin, because of the thoughts in my mind, because of the attitudes and actions of my past. But then when I start to make a list of all that God has provided, oh, how it leads to great joy and excitement. So would you take a sober assessment for 5 minutes every day this week? Father God, look what you've given me. God, I thank you for salvation. God, I thank you for my family. I thank you for, your list would be endless. Just how God has blessed and what he's doing. The spiritual gift he's provided for you. The way he is working in your life. On and on and on. So I'm asking everyone this week to take a sober assessment, 5 minutes a day. Next, I want to encourage you, if you have not yet discovered what your spiritual gift or gifts are, I would encourage you to discover your gifts. Now, there are multiple ways to do that. The greatest way is to pray and ask the Lord to reveal it to you. Ask him to show you through friends and family members, maybe, where you are gifted supernaturally to do work. I can look around this room and tell you about different spiritual gifts that I see in different people. They might be surprised to hear me say one that I see in them. I see people in this room who have the gift of hospitality. It's a gift from God, this over supernatural ability to be welcoming to others from the scripture. I see people who have the gift of mercy. People who have the gift of prophecy, people who have the gift of administration, people who have the gift of leadership, people who have the gift of service. We have a number of people in this room, well over what you would have on one hand, of people who truly have the gift of teaching. When they teach, it brings to life the scripture and what it means, and it helps people connect closer to the Lord. This room is full of spiritual gifts, but if you don't know what yours are, it's going to be hard to put on the work gloves and be about the work. So what I want to encourage you to do is to discover your gift. Now, I will tell you, I'm always leery of spiritual gifts tests where they say, read this and then you'll know what your gifts are. However, I do believe they are a good resource to help your mind to be thinking properly in your perspective of what God is showing you from the scripture. So here's what we've done. We have on our church website, and you can, when you leave here, you can open it right up on your phone or on your computer, and the first thing you'll see across the top screen says Spiritual Gift Inventory. You can click the button, and you can log right in and take it's 105 questions, but it doesn't take long. I mean, it sounds like a lot, but it really won't take more than 7 or 8 minutes to do. You can answer these questions honestly, and it's going to help you see some possibilities of what your spiritual giftedness might be. Now, it does not mean that you should take that inventory and mark the things you wish were true about you, because that won't work. You need to mark the things that are true, how you truly feel, how you truly live, how you truly act. You might want to just have your spouse take it for you. Get a little more accurate picture, but have someone to help you out to see what is there. And it will help you to see the leadings. If you don't have a clue what your spiritual gifts are, use that to help you have a leading of that. Now, if you don't want to do that on the computer, we have 100 hard copies of that available on the welcome desk right outside the door. You just take one. It'll show you right how to put it together, and it will help you. It's available right there, right outside the door this morning. And we encourage you to do so. These are simple ways then that you can then sit down with us if you want to have a conversation. We will be happy to sit down with you. If you say, it tells me that my three gifts really are leadership and service and mercy. What am I supposed to do with that? Well, we can talk about it and discover together how you can put those gifts into practice. It's going to be different for each person. But I can't stress enough that everyone in here who knows Jesus has a part to play. Your giftedness for the body of Christ is to be used for his glory. So I encourage you to discover that, to take the inventory. It's going to take a little homework, a little time, but take time to do it. And then begin to look for ways you can see how that applies to your life. I've often found that people's natural abilities are enhanced by their spiritual gifts. Oftentimes they go together. Not always, but oftentimes they are. And so it's important. If you have it's been a normal practice I have seen for gifted worship leaders and musicians to also have the gift, a spiritual gift of exhortation. Their singing is a natural talent given from God, but there are If you haven't noticed, there are people who don't know Jesus who sing well, and there are people who know Jesus who sing well. And there are people who do know Jesus who can't sing, right? Don't point if you know, I mean, if you sit near one, but it's the truth. And so that's a natural ability, but it's often coupled with certain spiritual gifts, almost always. And so it's great to see how those work together and flow together and use for the kingdom of God. That's just one example, but over and over, we could talk about those. You may have the gift of teaching. If you have the gift of teaching and explaining the scripture, but your personality is such that you don't do well around children, when we stand up and say we need someone else to teach third grade on Sunday mornings during Sunday school, the truth is, if you say, I have a gift of teaching, I'll do it, and then after you do it for 1 week, you need to take a pill or something because it's just, you can't do that, that's okay. That's not what you're supposed to do. You can use your gift of teaching in a different way. And so your personality plays a factor in that as well. We can help you discover. A couple of years ago, we went through something called your shape format through our Sunday school small groups. Let me remind you really quickly what we did there with that. We took your spiritual gift, that's the S, your spirit. We help people discover their spiritual gifts. The H is your heart. What are you passionate about? Because that's part of who you are. What is it that you would do if you could with the rest of your life? What are you passionate about? A is your abilities. What has God gifted you to do? There are some gifted people with all different types of abilities in this room. There are people in here that can do things, work with their hands. I can't do any of that. My wife would tell you I am not handy at all. I mean, I got really, really big praise, and it was like a big deal throwing me a party because I changed out some blinds in the living room. It's bad. I can't do anything with my hands. I'm not geared that way. But some of you, you can sit and look at any piece of complex equipment. You can take it apart, put it back together. That's ability. All kinds of things we have abilities for in this room. So spiritual gifts, your heart, what you're passionate about, your abilities, your P, your personality. What fits with your personality and who you are? God has wired you a specific way. Now, no doubt about it, your old nature can creep in there, so you want to be the renewed new you in Christ, but who he's made you to be, your personality, and then E, your life experiences. So you have shape, your spiritual gifts, your heart, your abilities, your personality, and your experiences. And all of those together will give you a glimpse of what it is you should be doing with your spiritual gift. It will help that make sense to you. So if you say, that's a whole lot to cover in a short amount of time, we will be glad to sit down with you as a staff. We've got some other key leaders in the church. We'll sit down one-on-one and walk through that. This is not to get you to do something here. This is to help you find your place in the kingdom of God, whether it be out in the community, whatever it would be, that you can glorify God and lead others to him through your spiritual giftedness. So we'd love to help you figure that out. So if you are not sure about your gifts, your homework assignment then is to take a sober assessment. We're all going to do that. But then for those that aren't sure about their gifts, to discover your gifts from the website, from the printed inventory. And again, those are just to help. They're not the answer. They're just to help to get there. But the most important thing I want to encourage everyone to do is to put on your work gloves. As a pastor of this church, and I have been privileged to serve as a pastor for, 7 years and 3.5 months, I guess now. And it has been a joy to see so many faithful people serving time and time again. Volunteering to do things behind the scenes, dirty jobs nobody else wants to do. Volunteering to get out and be in an uncomfortable position and do things that are not necessarily easy. Showing up on rainy days and sunny days and cold days and hot days and holidays. Volunteering in any number of ways to do all kinds of things. We are blessed with a large number of people who view and understand their calling is to serve the kingdom of God. But I would encourage you, if you're here and you say, I've reached an age, I can't serve anymore. Or I'm too young to serve, or too new a believer to serve, or I can't do this or that, or because of some past sin in my life, I'm disqualified from serving, or any number of things you may say. What I would say to you is this, that the scripture shows, if you know Jesus, he has given you spiritual gifts that you might put them to work. So I want to encourage every person in this room, put on your work gloves. Now, this is serious enough to me and to us that I want to encourage you this way. We're going to ask you as a reminder for your life and as a reminder for mine, when we start the invitation in a few moments, the first bit we're going to be singing, I'm going to encourage you to do something. I want to encourage you to come, and there'll be places in different parts of the room where you can just go and pick up a pair of work gloves. We're going to give you a pair of gloves. These aren't to wear and use. These are for you to serve as a reminder. They say, right on the end of the gloves, spiritual gifts come with work gloves. They're designed that maybe, I know where mine's going to go, right next to my nightstand. I have two very important things there on my nightstand. I'm going to put these gloves there as a reminder that I'm supposed to live out my faith. And the other thing is my CPAP machine, because that keeps me alive. So it's right there too, but I'll put this right beside it. And I want to encourage you to find a spot in your home where you can set this pair of gloves. And every day that you walk by them, you are reminded that my life is not to be passive for the kingdom of God, that God has equipped me to be on mission for him, that my spiritual gifts, your spiritual gifts, come with work gloves. And if you would make that commitment with me that every time you pass by, you will stop and pray that God will use you. We sang last week, and we're going to sing it again in a minute. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands. Take my feet. Take my will. When we sing that in a minute, will you let that be your prayer? So what we'll ask, we've got plenty, but maybe just one per family would be fine. If you'll take one and put it somewhere in your home so that the teenagers in the room, the children in the room, both parents in the room, adults, if you live alone, single, you can take two pair if you'd like, but have a pair that you can put somewhere as a reminder. Now, this may seem silly to you, but here's what I've learned in my life. I can go all the way back to the scripture in the Old Testament where Jacob wrestled with God. I can move forward to the Israelites crossing the Red Sea. I can move forward several places in the scripture where they set up stones of remembrance in Ebenezer. It was to remind them of what God was doing in their life. This little pair of work gloves you're going to get, it's just a reminder of what God has already done in your life and what he's asking you to do for him. So there's a table here. There's a table here. There's two in the back. When we sing, I'm just going to ask you to go grab a pair and go back to your seat. And then we're going to have a prayer together before we finish the rest of our invitation in just a moment. We still got plenty of time. Spiritual gifts come with work gloves. And then just simply get about the work. We will help you discover your place of service over the next number of weeks if you don't know. We just all want a part to play. The message is so simple. We're overcomplicating the scripture here if we make it about, I've got to figure out this exact gift for this. Listen, however God's gifted you, get about the work. Glorify him. Be used by him. If you're 9 years old in the room and you know Jesus, or you're 99 years old in the room and you know Jesus, God wants to use you. No one in this room has an expiration date until it's put on your tombstone some years from now. And even then, I'm thoroughly convinced we will continue to serve the Lord in heaven, working together. We're just not going to have to sweat when we do it. So I encourage you, will you do that? Would you pray with me with your heads bowed for just a moment? Father God, I'll be honest with you, with everyone in the room. This is a simple, simple message. But Lord, I feel it's so important for us to be reminded from your scripture that true worship begins in the head, begins in the heart, but it really does have to lead to the hands, if it's going to remain true worship, to the home. Father, I pray if there's one person here that's having an issue of pride that keeps them from wanting to be a servant, Lord, that you'll work in their heart, that they will humble themselves before you so that humiliation does not have to come to do it later. Father, for all of us in this room who know you, my prayer is that these little work gloves would remind others the way it has reminded me that I'm not to live my life today just for me. I'm to live out the grace of God and the power of God through the gifts of God for your glory. So, Father, I pray you would do that. Father, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Father, even now as we prepare to move to pick these up, I pray that it wouldn't just be I'm doing something because the pastor told me to, but I pray that it would simply be a commitment we make that we will use the gifts you've given us for your kingdom. We will consecrate our lives to you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.